Could I have a round of applause for the kids this morning? Oh my gosh, they're so adorable. Well, welcome. It is Palm Sunday. And due to our congregational meeting, I'm going to just share a short meditation on Palm Sunday. And it might not be exactly what you're thinking about. First, I have to get myself sorted here. Let's just pray before we hear the word this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. We celebrate, God, as we remember Palm Sunday and the crowds that stood and lined the road and threw their cloaks and waved the palm branches, God. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But God, we are mindful, Lord, that that was just a mere 5 days away from Good Friday and all that stood for, God. So we are mindful of Palm Sunday and the Passion of Christ today. May this word fill our hearts, God, with the truth of your sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we heard the Palm Sunday story, right? He rode in an untamed colt and was able to ride into the city, and then the people stood there waving and celebrating and rejoicing as he came in to the city. And as I shared this morning, as we sang, that same crowd very quickly turned on him and began to scream, "Crucify him," on that Friday morning. He entered as a king. Right? Not the king, not the kind of king that they expected, because he entered as a king, but as a humble king. He entered on a donkey. That's very symbolic. It wasn't a war horse. It wasn't a white steed. Even though that we understand when we sang this morning that you'll come and we profess in faith that Christ will come again, we know that his next return is going to be in victory and on a white horse. Amen? No donkey for the second time. We also know from other passages that not only was he a king, but he was also completely humble. And that's what I wanted to focus on today. We understand that as we sing Hosanna in the highest, as blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and we celebrate him as King of Kings, we also need to understand that he was completely humble. So I want to read from Paul's letter to the Philippians. And this is in chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And beginning in verse 5, it says this: "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen? If you were part of any kind of liturgical church growing up, we understand that we celebrate not only Palm Sunday, and some churches celebrate Passion Sunday. And so I wanted to take us from Palm Sunday and the celebration, but to also understand that this is now begins the week of the Passion of Christ. And those of us that have walked through the Easter experience in our small group over the past 6-7 weeks, we have, I think, a deeper understanding of the sacrifice of Christ, but how humble he was. One particular episode dealt with the fact that he came into the upper room, and his people were debating about who was going to sit on his right and who was going to sit on his left and who's going to be greatest, that Jesus stoops down, takes on the role of a servant, and begins to wash the feet of his disciples. So humble. So we look forward to Easter, but we also need to be mindful of Jesus' intentional sacrifice for us and what that looked like. So there's three things that I want to highlight in this passage this morning. Number one, his humility. Number two, that he emptied himself. And number three, that he was lifted up. So the first point is that Jesus is the perfect model of humility. We want to see what humility looks like. We need to look no other than to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Paul says in this letter that we should have the same mind as Christ, a humble mind when dealing and interacting with each other. And how did he model this? It says, being in the very nature God, he humbled himself. Jesus Christ is God, the Son, equal with the Father. Before, during, and after Jesus' time on earth. In other words, Jesus is, was, and always will be God. That Christ did not consider equality with God something to be grasped means that he willingly let go, released his privileges and glory in heaven in order to live on earth as a man and eventually give his life that we might be saved. That's the perfect model of humility. And that goes on to say that we are told that he made himself nothing. And the phrase in the Greek is ekonosin, from kenosis. I don't know if you know that term, which literally means he emptied himself. This does not mean that Jesus at any point gave up his deity. He remained fully God, but that he voluntarily laid aside his prerogatives as God, including his heavenly glory, position, riches, rights, and the use of his attributes as God. This emptying of himself meant not only a voluntary suspension of his capacities and privileges as God, but also an acceptance of human suffering, misunderstanding, mistreatment, hatred, and ultimately the curse of death on a cross. So when we look at Palm Sunday and the celebration, we know that he's already looking towards the cross, the world behind the cross before him, his intentionality of making his way to Jerusalem, knowing that the cross awaited, but that he emptied himself so that there was no diverting from the plan of God. Hebrews 5, verses 8 through 9 tells us that the Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Jesus became the perfect sacrifice. Hebrews tells us that he was the perfect sacrifice. He never sinned. And so in so doing, he became the perfect sacrifice. And if God is able to humble himself to death on a cross, should we not also be able to humble ourselves no matter what is asked of us? Would we wash the feet of the disciples? Would we wash the dung and dirt of the streets off of the people that we gather with for dinner? I'm not doing that. Now, have you ever heard that phrase? Have you ever said that phrase? When asked to do something, to think that somehow we are above anything. I'm not doing that. Somehow we set ourselves up as better than, greater than. We juxtapose ourselves in response to other people. We look at people differently. And somehow we exalt ourselves. If we are to model ourselves after Christ, there's no job that's too small. Amen? No position that he can't work through. Doesn't matter where you are, if you're unemployed, if you're working, if you're retired, there's no position that God cannot work through. In the letters from James and Peter, both of them tell us that we should humble ourselves before the Lord and we'll lift ourselves up. No, that's not right, right? And anybody knows those two passages. It says we humble ourselves before the Lord and he will lift us up. Too often we're excited about exalting ourselves. We have to check our spirits and make sure that we are allowing God to be the one that exalts, God the one that lifts up, God the one that brings us to the next level. God is the one who exalts, not self. Which brings me to my final point. It says at the end of the passage in Philippians, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He has been exalted. He has been given the name above all names. It is in the exaltation of Jesus that we are given eternal life. How? Because he was completely obedient and sinless. He became the perfect sacrifice, like I mentioned before. He was able to make the perfect sacrifice and pay the ultimate and complete penalty for our sin once and for all. Having done that, he has now been exalted. And as the scripture tells us, we can now bow before him, right? We bow before the one that has been exalted. We understand that we are sinful, that he is holy. We bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That is our salvation. Romans 10:9 states it this way. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the good news. Too often we try to make it more complicated than that. We think that it's salvation through works. If we go to church enough, if we serve enough, if we give ourselves busy enough. But in the scripture it tells us if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that we are saved, then we shall earn eternal life. That's it. It's through faith alone. And faith in the one that was so humble that he came before us and went to death for us. Amen? Tony Moody did something a few weeks ago that I absolutely loved. He talked about in Nehemiah how they just corporately confessed. And they understood that God had delivered them from so many things. God had brought them through so many things, and yet they continued to turn away, continued to fall back into the same patterns of sin. And we still do it today. We need to constantly be confessing our sins before God. And it doesn't mean that we just, you know, like we feel badly about ourselves, but understand that we do. It says everyone falls short of the glory of God. Everyone. And so we just need to understand that we have the opportunity to confess and receive forgiveness. But that belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the confession with our mouths, that is how we're saved. And so I just wanted to end very similarly to the way that he ended that day and walk you through a prayer of confession and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because we can go into Easter this Sunday and celebrate bunnies and eggs and getting together with family and springtime and all this kind of stuff that has become very commercial. Or we can be understanding that from this point forward, Jesus had spent a whole week in preparation for our eternity. From Palm Sunday on, every step was taken with you in mind. With you in mind. This point in time, we think it was only for then. It's now. The time is now. And so if you are willing, I'm going to ask everybody to stand this morning. If you're able to please stand. And I'm going to just share a prayer with you. I'm going to say it and you can repeat it after me. If you don't feel comfortable doing this, that's okay. You can just stand in silence. I'm not going to make you do anything that you don't feel called to do. But if you want that eternal life, if you want new life in Christ, right? The old man is gone, the new has come. There's so many promises that come with following after Christ. It's not that it's an immediate, easy road. We never want to profess that we become Christians just because life gets easier somehow. That's not the truth. But we certainly have an advocate, a counselor that comes alongside of us. So when we profess Christ as Lord and Savior, then the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, is then in our hearts and can come alongside and guide us and help us and walk all of these things out in our lives. And so if you want that, or if you want to commit again this morning, just repeat after me. So if you're willing, repeat after me. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe in you, and that your word is true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died on the cross so that I may know forgiveness for my sins and to have eternal life. I know that without you in my heart, my life is meaningless. I believe in my heart that you, Lord God, raised him from the dead. Please forgive me for every sin I have ever committed or done in my heart. Jesus, come into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I need you to be my Father and my friend. I give you my life and ask you to take full control from this moment on. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Always feels good to confess your belief in Christ. If you've never said that prayer before, is this the first time for you? Please come and talk to me after the service so we can pray together and I can help you begin the journey with Christ today. I want to just celebrate what God is doing in our midst. I'm going to close this part of our worship service so that you can get some coffee and get some food and come back in for the meeting. And if you're a guest here today, you are welcome to stay for the meeting so that you can find out what's going on here. Everything is open and available. We're going to just share a video of what's gone on in the past year and talk about some visions and goal setting for the coming year. It won't be very long, but I invite you to stay, be part of it, so you can see what God is doing here. Amen? And Amber, you had a question?
You didn't have a question.
Okay. So let's just close this in prayer, and then I'll pray for the meeting when we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being in this place today, oh God. We rejoice that we can profess Hosanna, praises to you this morning, you who come in the name of the Lord. And we rejoice, God, that you have come into our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.